All right, let's start with our first question. What does mental health means to you?
Mental health is just one part of holistic employee well-being at work. And other aspects of mental health, other aspects of employee well-being actually contribute to mental health. So things like financial wellness, or even meaningful connections, social connections with others, or personal support like work-life balance, it also impacts mental health. So there is no one one driver of mental wellness or mental health. Do you think, have you guys experienced any mental health concerns or observed anyone with mental health issues in current or previous workplaces?
I think mental health is, you know, very much talked about, right, nowadays, and people, the awareness level is really much higher than before.
I think so too.
And so this is a positive, I would say, development in, you know, employee experience, as well as the leaders' awareness on that. But I'm also wondering if, you know, mental health, who has the biggest impact of mental health in employees? I'm not sure, is it your colleagues or your bosses or is it policies?
Yeah, it's mental health is such a big topic, right? Like if we think about our own mental health, there's so many factors that affect it.
Yep.
Like when we go to a workplace, it's not just what happens inside the workplace, it's also what happens before. Like how did I feel before coming to work? Did I have an argument with my husband, or was my son okay when I sent him off to school? I think it's all of those little things that, you know, that impact my own mental health or my own well-being.
Yeah, because you can't leave wellness at the door and then come into the workplace,
right?
In answer to that question, though, I really think that leaders have a huge role to play, because they are the ones that drive workplace culture. If there isn't psychological safety in a workplace, I think mental health would be affected. If leaders themselves actually normalize stress in the workplace, like for instance, once at one of my old jobs, this thing about people walking out the door at 6, and there was this big door that it was one of those double doors that you step out of the office. And at 6 o'clock, when people get up, and it's open concept, somebody in their room will go, "Oh, buy your part-time today, or half day today." So, you know, when you make comments like that, even though it's a joke, even though it's off the cuff, and they don't actually mean anything bad about it. You know, people,
but the person feels shamed in that sense, right?
A little bit. But by the same time, I mean, you laugh it off, but it does give a hint of, you know?
Yeah. Actually, that's a very good point, because leaders have to first acknowledge, right, the importance of giving that kind of, like what you mentioned, psychological safety in the workplace environment, and also the skill set and the mindset to be able to really create that kind of a healthy workplace environment, so that the employees can feel psychologically and physically safe working in the company, right?
Okay.
So that also brings me to my next question, actually. For leaders, we talk about how leaders can actually help in the mental health area, right, for employees. What about colleagues? Because in our Great Place to Work model, we have the three relationships, right? So the relationship with your colleagues, how does that actually contribute to the mental health? What do you think?
I think that's a big factor, because the reality is you spend so much time working with our colleagues than, you know, having one-on-one with our boss, right? So I think that's a very big factor as well.
Yeah, I think so, because if you want to talk about the risk of too much stress at the workplace that impacts mental health, if somebody says, "Oh, I'm really stressed at work, you know, I have this really big project and this really and this time crunch," and the colleagues respond with something like, "Who doesn't?" or yeah, me too, it kind of becomes like, "Oh, you should be stressed because this is the way to go." Different people cope with the stress differently, and I think some people may need more support than others. So if colleagues normalize the fact that this stress is the norm and, you know, who doesn't go through this stress, it could actually lead to burnout.
Yeah,
because besides work, as Tony mentioned earlier, there's a lot of other stuff happening outside the workplace that,
that's right,
you know, contributes to the overall level of stress.
Have you experienced burnout and what caused it?
The thing is, I never realized that I was burnt out until I left. Then in retrospect, then I realized that the dread going to work every day, the fear that I felt going into meetings, or in some cases, even just praying every day, oh, please get me through this day, every night, thank you for helping me get through this day. That sense, of I'm not good enough, I am not doing well. That sense of just sheer exhaustion, the want to procrastinate, but the inability to push things off because time crunch, workload just piling on, stress every single day. I think that was burnout, and I just never realized it because a lot of people felt that way. And it was the norm. You know, really, who didn't feel that way? So it's only after I left, when I met an ex-colleague, and they said, wow, you seem so much happier. You know, when you were at work, there was always this aura of sadness. But now I actually see you're so much happier.
Because you're with us now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're at a great place to work.
Before we continue, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor, DHL Express Singapore. DHL, the world's leading logistics company, is leading the charge towards a more sustainable future. With a goal of achieving net zero emissions by 2050. In Singapore, DHL's Go Green Plus solutions helps businesses to reduce their carbon emissions through the use of sustainable aviation fuel. Derived from renewable sources such as used cooking oil, DHL is also expanding their electric vehicle fleet rapidly to ensure greener last mile deliveries. Join DHL on their sustainability journey. Learn more at dhl.com/discover/en-sg. Welcome to the podcast series by Great Place to Work, ASEAN and ANZ. Join us as we explore current workplace trends and issues through conversations with industry leaders. Listen to their views and experiences that are shaping our workplaces today.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Great Place to Work podcast. And in today's episode, we are going to dive into the topic around mental health. Mental health is a term that we've been hearing bandied around a lot more frequently since the pandemic. It is now a key concern in Singapore, both within and outside the workplace. In fact, the government has launched a national level mental health and well-being strategy. And we are thinking around how do we build an ecosystem to support our people to have a balance, you know, a way in which they can balance out the stresses of life. There is an emerging trend among young professionals taking long career breaks to prioritize mental health. And this is in part due to sometimes the heightened pace of work, the stresses they face at work, as well as perhaps a hostile workplace environment. This afternoon, we're really happy to have with us one of our companies, a leader from our best workplace, Vivian, who has been with HP for the last 25 years, but HP has also been a best workplace for the last many years. And we want to understand what steps has HP taken to help build a work environment that is supportive and conducive for employees to thrive in spite and despite of pressure and the need to deliver on the results. Thank you for joining us, Vivian.
Thank you for having me here.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Vivian. I work for HP for 25 years. I'm currently taking care of services and solutions for Greater Asia. And before this role, I was very fortunate to be the MD of Singapore and Malaysia for HP Inc.
That's right. So, Vivian, you are no stranger to a Great Place to Work. We're no stranger to you. We have had you previously in panel conversations in Great Place to Work events because HP, you have consistently been placed as a top workplace in Singapore, both on the national work list as well as the technology list. it must mean something, right, for you to not just one time, but multiple times, again and again, appear on the best workplaces list, because you all have done something right. And that's what we want to learn from you today. Could you share with us, perhaps just give us an overview of the kind of culture that HP has. HP as a company don't need more introduction. We are familiar with your products, we are familiar with your services, but perhaps tell us the makeup of your organization and let us know what kind of culture can an employee expect or a new hire expect if they come to work for you?
At HP, I think we firmly believe that people are the greatest asset of the company. And we also believe that, you know, a more engaged employees and will be more productive, and thus will actually bring us to be a more successful company as a whole. So that's why employee well-being has always been a key pillars of one of our people strategy that we focus on, right? And I know today we're talking about mental well-being, but actually in our global well-being framework, we cover five pillars of well-being. Emotional well-being, which means that they are able to take whatever life throws at them, right? Physical well-being, to make sure that they are healthy proactively, right? We also talk about life balance, to make sure that the employee is successful at work and also at home, right? And we also talk about social and community well-being, having fostering positive relationships and communities. Right, and last but not least is financial well-being, to make sure that the employees are building financial strength for today and tomorrow. So these are the five pillars of our well-being framework as a whole.
Well, that sounds very holistic, in that you've gone to the physical, the mental, the emotional, the social, and going to the aspect of financial well-being. I'm curious, Vivian, is this whole global framework, which is really holistic, is this something that has been in focus as a result of pandemic? Because during pandemic, the whole topic around employee well-being was just totally the key focus of all organizations, right? And therefore, there's a renewed understanding, or not renewed, but a new understanding on the urgency of that. But is this something that HP has in place only since 2020?
So over the pandemic, overall, the main focus has always been mental well-being. But as a whole, post-pandemic, we also start to look at well-being as a whole. And I think all the five pillars make very relevant sense to the well-being of an employee, right? When you're not well, like today, I'm a little bit under the weather. You know, it's hard to kind of bring your full self to work. So we want to make sure that our employee is also healthy and proactively taking care of themselves physically as well. So there are that five pillars really make a lot of sense for making sure that the employee comes, bring the best self when it comes to work, so that we can help them in any aspect of it.
All right. I would love to be able to for you to unpack as we speak around these five aspects. So what I'm hearing is that you have first talked about how taking care of people is a fundamental attribute or fundamental belief of HP, because you believe that people are your most important resource in the organization. Right, for a tech company, I mean, that's a statement that we hear that all the time. But why? Why are people the most important asset? Why not your products? Why not, you know, the technology? Why people?
So, as a technology company, we depend on our people to bring the latest technology, the latest innovation, right? And in order to do that, we have to create an environment that fosters that innovation, that creativity. And that's why we want to make sure that the employee comes to work bringing their best self to work. And thus, during the pandemic, you know, a lot of focus were really on their mental well-being because of the fact that people were working at home for long hours with no breaks. So if you look at it, some of the key initiatives that we actually rolled out during the pandemic are things like we have a network of well-being ambassador. We actually train 150 leaders or managers in the company to make sure that they are able to look out for early signs of fatigue, stress, you know, and lean out to help the employees, and also to make sure that we create an environment that we can support the team members, right? So these are This is one of the key initiatives. And on top of that, we also have 90 Days of Better You, mm-hmm. making sure that the employee is more aware mm-hmm. of, hey, you know, take some time to think about where are you mentally, as your state of mind, mm-hmm. and are you okay, mm-hmm. right? We also have a well-being allowance mm-hmm. to allow the employee to spend some money on things that help them to get physically well, right? Okay. Maybe they need some exercise equipment, or maybe they need like an ergonomic table to help them work better at home, mm-hmm. right? And we also have things like me day. Me day in a sense that, hey, take a break. Spend some time on yourself. Mm. Take a mental break, in a sense, from work. Because I think many of us go through this during the pandemic, right? We have back-to-back meetings. Mm. Sometimes don't even have time to like get up and have a cup of coffee or things like that. So I think those are some of the key initiatives that was an outcome of the pandemic that we observed and we have introduced. Mm. And then that led us to think about global wellness as a much broader program.
Mm, so you have evolved in the way you think about wellness.
That's right.
There was a perspective, but you realize that an employee's well-being needs is multifaceted,
right.
And therefore that's how you have evolved.
Right.
If I could just take a step back, would you be able to share what are some signs where an employee might not have a strong or a positive mental health? What would some signs be? What are some signs that are being exhibited in the workplace?
I think whether they are engaged in meetings.
Okay.
I think many of us, sometimes when we bring, like for me, I personally used to have to bring my kids for a certain therapy session, right? So what I do is that, you know, I can't really focus if, let's say, I have to worry about who's going to bring my kid to the therapy session and so on and so forth. So we need to provide an environment to be able to allow to allow the employee to be able to voice some of their needs and their help needed to their managers. That's one. The other observation is also how engaged are they during the meeting? And those are some observations that you can actually see in meetings, right? When an employee comes, is present or not present, right? We were talking about being present over Zoom. How do you be present on a virtual setting and so on and so forth? So I think these are signs that we taught the ambassador, the well-being ambassador, to look out for, to look at employees to see whether do you need to check in with a certain particular employee more often than the other. So these are some examples that we can see. So like for me personally, during my times of need, I was able to work with my manager to say that, hey, you know, I know that certain days I need to be out because I need to bring my kid for doctor appointment or whatever, but I make sure I clock my time back. And there was mutual trust and respect that we had with each other, and we were able to complement, you know, that work can coexist with your personal life in a sense.
That's
and I'm a much happier employee, right?
That's really good to know. I like what you said, Vivian, where you said that work and life can coexist together, right? So if I could just recap what I've heard you say is that, first of all, you have a group of well-being ambassadors. That's very intentional on the part of HP. And these ambassadors are trained to know how to look out for signs in employees who might not be fully engaged and fully present at work, to understand what these signs, which of these signs might lead to, might be a symptom that they are not at their be their best self, in their mental health. I also hear you talk about providing an environment where people can voice out their concerns, voice out their struggles. You share about your example, being able to voice to your boss and say that I need this day to be able to have flexibility to bring my child out. And that sounds to me like it's a place where the organization recognizes that not everyone can be 100% of the time.
That's right.
It is very counterintuitive to bosses, because we want to get maximized value out of everything we do. And we feel that when we hire an employee, a resource, for a certain salary, they need to be 100% at that time. What is your, you know, to our listeners out there, what is your advice around how leaders think about employee as a resource?
So I think that today, given post-pandemic and the style of work has changed, right? Everybody has moved to this hybrid workspace and so on and so forth. People can work anywhere, anytime. And I think that it brings about a different kind of work style that the management also have to accept to some extent, right? So, so as a manager for me, I think seeing an employee in the office on a day-to-day basis is not necessary if, let's say, he's able to deliver the milestones that we all agreed upon, right? Mm. It's more about the setting the right metrics and milestone that the employee needs to deliver, number one, and respect the fact that all of us have got different work style, in a sense, right? Some people like to come to office because they don't have a conducive environment to work at home. Some people prefer to work at home because they find that they are more productive at home. But more importantly, the company need to foster an environment where people come back and collaborate. So I think that's that balance that today a lot of the management needs to adopt.
So I'm hearing, and you are experienced leader. You have been around for the last 25 years just in HP. So if I do a collectively a work experience, perhaps more than 30 years, and I've been a leader for a big part of that. And Vivian, I hear you say that the management style, the leadership style has to evolve over time. I hear you say that post-pandemic, the way people work is different. It's now a hybrid work environment, and how as leaders, we need to change with times. We need to evolve. Is that what you just said?
Yes, I would think that times have changed, right? And I think that it's a lot of trust and respect of us off to the employees as
But we like to lament it's a Gen Z thing, it's a Gen Y thing. Why people now decide to work like that? Especially, you know, those of us who are perhaps of a certain age group and we've been working, we've been in bosses for a little while. I like to lament, you know, it's not like last time when it's during our bit, but I'm hearing you say we, the bosses, we need to evolve.
So I think it's two ways, right? Okay. Everything is a two-way conversation, right? And for the Gen Z out there who prefers to stay at home, I have two kids, I know they like to hibernate in their room. But I do think that a lot of leadership qualities is learned by observing.
Okay, leaders need to observe.
Yeah. So if you have an environment whereby you're able to observe the leader lead, you know, the qualities, the way they carry themselves, the way they articulate in forums, in meeting. And I think that's a lot of learning opportunities for Gen Z to have versus working individually at home, right? I think there needs
Is a place for us to be together in person physically because of the coaching, the teaching moments.
That's right. So I would say that there's always this balance, right? You are doing individual email, you don't really need to come to the office. You can stay at home and do your emails, right? But there's a point in time where you need to come and collaborate, where you learn from different people, not just leaders, right? Your colleagues. He brings about a different set of perspective and a different set of knowledge that you may or may not have. So I think that collaboration part is also very important for the success of the company. So I think that should be kind of a balance. In a sense.
So I'm hearing so far the need for us to recognize that not everyone can be 100% of the time. I'm hearing from you about how leaders need to evolve. I'm hearing that there is a place to learn in person, and how we must take care of the full person, the whole person, so that they can bring their full selves to work and contribute. On the other flip side, right, the term mental health, toxic workplaces have also been raised and bandied around so much that people are also very quick to say that, oh, this is not good for my mental health, right? And you see on social media, you see in conversations, and everything is termed as it's bad for my mental health. There is also that fear that in our effort to want to be more conscious, to more intentional, in our effort to want to raise everyone's overall well-being, they can also be abused. And this is a real concern for leaders out there. Either because they have seen it, experienced themselves, or they have heard people talk about that. How would you advise us to manage
I would say that for us at HP, we're very fortunate, right? We have a very strong company culture called the HP Way, right? And it circles around a few pillars, right? And really it's more about the trust and respect that we have for each other. We also have very high level of achievement and contribution, right? And we also have strong and uncompromising integrity. And also last but not least is we want to achieve the common goal through teamwork. So I think some of this company culture is built over time. And people come into HP, they adopt the HP way, and you know, I'm quite sure in a system sometimes you can't catch all, but I think that culture will live long in the company and you know, elevate the staff to think the same way, in a sense, right? That's one. The other one is that we want to offer an environment and a culture whereby there's no stigma for the company, for the employees to come forward to say that, hey, I need help. And what we want to do is to provide them platform, tools to either self-help, if not, then reach out to someone that can help them, right? They can come to HR. They can inform their manager they need help, or they even can report a case through the system whereby they can get help anonymously. We have a panel of counselors that can help them, and we don't even know who these employees are. The panels will just tell us, oh, in this month, X number of people have engaged us and give us the information so that the employee don't feel that they are stigmatized, that they have an issue and they come forward and we kind of view them in a different light in that sense. So I think these are good platforms that we allow the employees to leverage on. Yeah, and we respect each other's privacy and personal life, right?
Thank you for sharing that, Vivian. What I'm hearing is therefore that the risk of abuse will always be there. There's no policy or program that can catch the black sheep. But HP has built a culture so strong such that the people know that in this organization, there is no stigma if you really need to take off. There are also avenues for people to seek support and help in a way that feels safe to them, whether it's anonymously, confidentially, or just from the vibes around their bosses and colleagues, that it is okay to say, I'm not okay.
That's right.
But above and beyond that, you have a culture of integrity and respect, a culture where people want to deliver excellent good work. And because that culture permeates the environment, the risk of people using mental health as a cop-out is not there.
That's right.
Because if they need it, it's there. If they don't need it, you don't need to do that.
Right.
And there's so much positivity in culture where people don't need to lie or cheat to get their way out.
So I have come across a staff who was really not well, right? And this person was not even willing to take off. It's like, I still have a lot of work to do and so on and so forth, right? And it's like, oh, I have a lot of deadlines. I can't leave the job. And my point to this person is that, you know, tomorrow, if something happened to me, I don't come to work, the company will run because there are people that will support, will come in to support and help you lift the gap that we have left behind, right, to some extent. And that's my point to this person. Go, take care of yourself first, because when you can take care of yourself very well, you can contribute more to the company.
This is so good. You have a case where you are the boss telling your staff, you need to go and rest. You need to stop working. You need to know that the company can still go on without you, but you are more important than whatever work you have. And this is a message coming from the boss, which is unusual because I just had a lunch conversation with a friend who just left his old company. And the narrative that I hear him share about his organization is completely different. One where the table is being banged and the bosses are saying they're all doing a horrible job, that they all lose their bonuses if they don't work hard enough. And despite how people feel, the job comes first, not the person. But HP is saying the opposite. Some of us might feel nervous hearing that because we are afraid that how does my business survive? We might feel that it will be abused. What has adopting this people first approach, how has it benefited HP? Before that, tell us, is it very expensive to take care of people this way?
I would say that for HP, you know, we, like I said, you know, we recognize that people are the greatest asset for the company. And it's not just providing that platform, it's also the fact that for us to continue to stay relevant to the industry, because you can't ignore that there's this thing going on and we need to lean in to help, right? And it's for us, it's one way for us to stay relevant, number one. Number two, it also makes us a great place to work, right?
Why should you be a great place to work?
Because I think it attracts the right talent to join the company, and that will bring us to greater success if we can attract the right talent, right? And the other point of view is that it increased the awareness of well-being. You know, generally people are aware, right? Generally people foster closer relationship, has more loyalty with the company, and it also shows that the companies care, right? I think these are very good proof points that there is an outcome of why we are concerned about our employees.
So these are great points, but these are not, how does this impact business bottom line?
I think that if the employee comes to work feeling happy, feeling productive, feeling the loyalty, right? They won't leave the company, right?
So retention.
Retention is better, right? And also the ability to want to give back is one thing, right? For example, personally, I've experienced that the company is very accommodative to in times where I have needs, right? I also want to give it back to the employees.
So you want to reciprocate the kindness that was shown to you.
That's right. And I think through that, you know, I'm happy working for the company for many years. And I'm sure many of my colleagues does, right? And that amplifies the fact that, you know, we are a strong employer. We have a good number of employees that have worked with us for many, many years. And the result shows, right? And at the end of the day, when the employees feel happy, they come to work happy, they are more productive, the success of the company is an outcome.
So I'm hearing that because at the very fundamental level, it is not about mental well-being as a practice. There's already a culture of respect, a strong workplace culture. And under that foundation, you introduce efforts to maintain well-being. So it becomes one where it's easy to do.
That's right. And there's also, other than that, there's also a lot of activities that we drive in the company that drive sense of belonging, right? So for example, we have what we call Business Impact Network that we implement in the company. And it's really to pull together like-minded people. So recently we had this new BIN, what we call BIN, Business Impact Network, right? For disability, people with disability. So they bring together the awareness of, hey, amongst us, there are people with disability. How do we make the workplace more friendly,
inclusive?
Is there something that we need to build in to allow people, like for example, do we have enough ramps in the company to allow people that come to work on wheelchair and things like that? It's really bringing that inclusiveness of people with various sort of needs together to allow them to also voice, have a voice in a bigger group, more concentrated group to the company as well. And sometimes for us as leaders, we actually learned that, oh, wow, these are the things that we didn't think about, right? For us, we also have things like National Service Men Special Interest Group. And what we do is to drive awareness of NS. Why as managers, we need to support our staff when they go for NS, right? And why we need to step in to help cover their duties when they are away, because they have a higher duty to protect the country. So things like that is a lot of awareness, a lot of activities that pull like-minded people together to help give back to the company as well.
Yeah, I think the word that comes to my mind is HP. You are very intentional. You are very deliberate. Things are not left to chance. You are clear about hearing from the people their needs, their requirements, and sharing back so that the wider team understand where they're coming from, putting into place programs and support systems so that you have that HP way that is not just words on a manifesto or posters on the wall, but the HP way becomes a real way of life.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Vivian.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Now, give me a number.
Any 9.
Number, right? Give me a length of time.
20 seconds.
Let me know an adjective.
Wonderful.
Okay. What about a adverb ending in L-Y?
Quickly.
Okay, can. Can? Can. Quickly. Okay. What about a noun?
Fish market.
I love it. Okay, what about a body part?
Eyelashes.
All right. Could I have a verb ending in ing?
Excruciating.
Wow, you give me a very long word. I need to know how to say. Thankfully, people don't see my spelling. Okay, a country.
Uzbekistan.
You are not an easy guess. Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan. How about? You ready for your answers?
Do I have to fall off my chair?
No. Okay, let's see, okay? Employee confession. I work 9 hours a week, but I also have 22 seconds off in a year. When I go to work, I feel wonderful and quickly go home at the end of the day.
Oh, that's right.
The thought of going to the office makes me feel like a fish market is weighing on my eyelashes. Is this burnout? There was also an incident where I was strangling my mobile phone and ended up in the hospital. I think that explains the state of my mental health, but I'm worried that Gen Zs will judge me if I share this with them. I feel an urge to take a sabbatical and travel to Uzbekistan in order to sprint the diapers, but I don't want to leave my stable job. What should I do? Wonderful. Thank you so much, Vivian.
Oh, this is so much fun.
So much fun. And I love that your answers are so, you know, it's unexpected.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you for your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is really fun.
This podcast is brought to you by Great Place to Work, ASEAN and ANZ. At Great Place to Work, we transform workplaces through our unique culture and certification program. We promote a future of work that is inclusive and fulfilling, inspiring organizations to build cultures of trust, collaboration, and engagement. Tune in to our next episode and stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Let's shape truly great workplaces together.